Christian greetings in the name of Jesus, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters, and the children that are here because the parents brought them. Certainly may the grace and peace and mercy of God be multiplied to each one of us in spite of a situation like Henry referred to, when there's so many things beckoning us to get our attention and to keep us busy so we really can't think on the things that God probably wants us to think about. Appreciated this song that Brother Simon chose to sing. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. And he's there. He is the miracle worker. And he is there to create a miracle within us and to do a miracle and to keep us on top of things. When I tread the verge of Jordan, you know, we're just about home. I don't know. Maybe some of us will be going home in the next days. I don't know. Young or old, dearly beloved sisters and brethren, we just need to let God guide us. And God will never take us in a way, the Spirit of God will never take us in a way that is contrary to his teaching to us as brethren and sisters. I was challenged with the message Friday. No, it was yesterday. Maybe I've been going too much too, you know. But a real challenge for all of us living here, young and old, are you ready to meet Jesus face to face? Are you doing the things, what you plan to do? Is it God-honoring? Will you be ready when your last breath has been breathed? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Bid my anxious fears subside. If you knew you were going to die after lunch today, would you be fearful? Would you have things in your mind to do that you know is not God-honoring? You know, we need to think of those things. Guiding. Let God guide us. Bear me through the swelling current. But first, he says, pilgrim through a barren land. This world has nothing to offer for us in eternity. And there's a lot of ways that will lead you through eternity or to eternity, whichever you want to say. But there's only one way that will lead us to heaven, and that is Jesus. I was reading, I wasn't going to talk about this, but anyhow, reading in Answers of Genesis about the concern that they have that our churches of today, our evangelical churches, are being led away from serving God in honesty and in spirit and in truth. There's so many out there that they are Christians. They go to church, and some of those same people have a curriculum that includes, in their homeschooling, that includes evolution and teaches evolution. Churches. Reminds me of our experience with some of the pastors in Australia when they were talking about the evolution. You know, what does the Bible say? Well, he says the Bible doesn't clearly come through, and evolution makes more sense than the Genesis account. What do you preach? Oh, we preach Jesus. Can you really preach Jesus when you don't believe in the first chapter in the Bible? In the beginning, God. And oh, we wouldn't do that. But there's other things that I fear that are leading us away, and especially from a quiet and peaceful life, in all honesty. So may God, may we really truly let God lead us, that he can land me on safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. I was certainly blessed with that. May we realize that God wants to lead us. The heading verse there is, thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Friends, youth and children as well, we all want to go to where Jesus is. But we cannot take our own way and expect to get there. Crippled. I was led to teach from chapter 3 in Acts. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read this chapter in its entirety. Peter cureth a lame man. Now, I understand, according to the record that was given, Peter was involved in the Lord using him for 5 miracles that happened. And in the same study, I found out, according to the record in the Bible, Jesus had done like between 30 and 40 miracles in his lifetime here. But Jesus is the one that did the miracle here. And let us read this here. Let's take notice. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms for the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly unto us, as though by our own power and or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled, Repent ye therefore, and be converted, and your sins, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel to those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away from one of you, no, excuse me, in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Praise God for his loving kindness in sending one to deliver us and turn us away from all our iniquities. We are a sinful people, and we are needy creatures, but God has sent Jesus to fill those needs that we have. And we are so wanting. So here we have this situation where Peter and John, according to the ninth hour, every so often, I guess, they went into the temple for something. I don't know just what other than to pray or attending to unto the sanctuary, my side notes give. And this man, lame from his mother's womb, was laying there. And I think, excuse me, I was also reading recently that we as preachers should present the messages that the children can understand it, and that they can gain from it, and that that we would not speak way over their heads. So I want to try and do that as well. So this man was laying there, crippled from his birth, actually, and he had never walked. And I was just trying to think how it would be if I had never walked. And the scripture says this man was over 40 years old. And they had carried him. They carried him every day out there to where he could gain some alms to provide for himself. And Peter... and in fact, this is the second message that Peter preached to the scribes and Pharisees. And Peter and John going into the temple, they didn't know what the Lord had for them that day, I don't think. But they took advantage. They were there for God. And they let themselves be used. And in our everyday life, everyday walk of life, we need to look for opportunities and not pass them by if we have an opportunity to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ and to lift him up and to encourage others along the way. Some people are so discouraged at the moment because of world situations. And so we have an opportunity at times to share some encouraging thoughts from the scripture to encourage those people. But Peter just had one thing in mind. and that was to honor God. And so when this man looked up to them and wanted to see what they could share, what they would have to give, Peter just said, "Silver and gold have I none." I suppose that man's heart might, thought they was going to give me something. I don't know how long he paused in these exclamations. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I have given to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth," and he put his hand down, he says, "rise up and walk." And I suppose the man, I didn't know. Did he know what he was doing? But anyhow, he must have grabbed a hold of that hand and raised him up on his feet, his ankle bones, and the miracle that was done raised him up from a situation like a caterpillar. Like a caterpillar that only can crawl. After he gets out of his egg and grows, he's so earthbound. It's just like the non-Christian. But we, as we go through this change, this miracle of the new birth, we are changed into the image of Jesus. We are changed into a new person. If any man be in Christ, he's a new person. We don't want to go on in the old things. Peter says it's enough that we've done those old things of sinful things back there. We want something new now. And so, the caterpillar can't do anything but just crawl on the earth. But after he goes through that cocoon situation, what shows up? A beautiful butterfly. And he's flying around above. He's not earthbound. Are you experiencing that lifting up? Are you experiencing that flying above the sinful world? Yes, we are still sinful people. We still have this sinful flesh and blood. But that change was made in this man. He rose up. I don't know whether he even believed in God or not, but he had risen up, and he was leaping and praising God and running and talk about happy in the Lord. We might think, well, he kind of overdone it a little bit, but were you ever excited about your faith in God and the change that is in your life, even though you're still dealing with this flesh, the change that is? You need to praise God and be happy and give him the glory. Peter, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I have given to you." And he raised him up. He was no longer a cripple. He was running about, praising God. And, of course, the people were so amazed, and they were drawn to the apostle Peter and John there at Solomon's Hall or whatever it was there, at the porch of one of the porches of the temple. And that man, he wasn't a young boy like some of our young boys, and they get happy about something. Oh, they jump up and down. They're so excited about mom and dad's going to take us on a trip, or mom and dad's going to take us to town for lunch or whatever. And this man was just totally excited and overjoyed. And the people were just wondering, what is going on? Why is this man so happy? What has happened? And then it says here in verse 11, "And all the people ran together on the porch." I bet that news spread in a hurry from one to another, all around the temple and further. And so he was there, Peter was there, and saying, "Why marvel ye at this? Jesus has come that all of us could experience this being brought out from the old life and being from a crippled person, being a new person in Christ Jesus. Why do you marvel at this? Is that we would by our own power and holiness have made this man to walk?" And then he goes, he has that opportunity to share with them the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, The God of our fathers hath glorified his Son Jesus. Oh, if they could just grasp this, that this was the one that you took and you crucified him. Pilate wanted to set him free. He tried everything, and finally he washed his hands and said, "Man, I'm free of this situation. I see nothing wrong with this man." But it was a plan for you and I's redemption. And so Peter went on saying here about the how that they denied Jesus and the Holy One and just, and they granted, they wanted a murderer set free rather than Jesus. And his name, through faith in him, made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, he might have had faith in Jesus, this crippled man, I don't know. But he certainly found praise and glory and honor for God when he raised him up. And now he says in verse 17, "And now, brethren, I want through the ignorance you did this." You know, they didn't really realize. In fact, Paul or is it Peter that writes that if they, I think it's Paul, he writes that if they had known what God was planned, had planned through this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, but we rejoice in that. And it was the suffering and death, the hanging on the cross. Jesus suffered for you and I. Please, young people, older people, middle-aged, all of us, let us not do anything against the man of God that saved us from the pits of hell. But are we denying Christ? Are we telling his word is not worth anything? Saying his word is not worth anything by not honoring God? Honoring our parents, honoring our leaders in the church, if you will. Peter is explaining to these people what they did, and now he said, "But you can repent. You can repent and be converted, that your sins are blotted out." That precious blood. And Jesus was preached to them. Jesus was preached to us. Is still being preached today. And he refers back to Moses when Moses said that a prophet like me, similar to Moses, so similar to himself, he will raise up among your brethren, likened to me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So that corresponds with Jesus' words that go into every land. I appreciated Elam's devotional this morning, letting the word of God speak. And Jesus said, "Go into all the world. Teach those people. Teach them about Jesus. May our walk of life be a light unto them. That even in this dark world, Christians can walk with a joy of the Lord." And he says, he says that in Matthew, the last chapter, the last couple of verses, and teach them to observe all things that I have told you. And Peter here reminds those people that they have that opportunity. "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Yea, all the prophets. Jesus was teaching the people in Matthew 5, I believe. He said, when he said, he taught the Beatitudes, he said all these blessings he spoke of, and blessed are thee when men shall revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely. In my name, I can't quote everything, but anyhow, it said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. And here Peter reminds him again. The prophets have taught all this stuff, but you rejected, you killed the prophets. You rejected it, everything. Ye children of the prophets, he says here, and ye brethren and sisters and young people of the prophets. This stuff was preached to us as well. Oh, may God help us. Guide us, O thou blessed Jehovah. Pilgrims in this barren land. Let us not let the darkness of this world overcome us. But God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Let's abide in him. Let's abide in him. You know, this man was crippled. Now, I'm going to finish this here. Ye are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying that Abraham, unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away from every one of you from his iniquities. What a blessing. Hear this, this beggar was crippled. He couldn't walk. But you know, there's a form of lameness and crippledness that is much, much worse than useless legs. At the funeral yesterday, we had several on wheelchairs that couldn't walk. Paralyzed because of accidents, whatever. But that's not so bad. They were Christians. They confessed God and they spoke about the Lord and his goodness, even on a wheelchair. The other Wednesday evening at the prison, there was a man there that couldn't walk. And he was on a wheelchair. But you know, we turn to Christ. And like I said, there's a crippledness that is much worse than that. And that is to be crippled spiritually. To be crippled to the extent that we just can't give ourselves over. You know, spiritual cripple. A crippledness that is much more disabling than to be maimed in body. And that is to be spiritual, be a spiritual cripple, diseased and deformed in one's soul. It can come from rebellion, alienation from God. Rebellion has caused many, many crippled souls in young people and older ones as well. It may be wasting melody of result that results from bitterness. And I'm reading this from an article that I got. It's not original by me. Repressed anger, resentment, and unforgiving attitude toward others. To be crippled in the soul is the inability to walk in newness of life as God would have his children to walk. Think on these things. God created man in his own image. And through Adam's sin, this image was tarnished. But God sent his Son Jesus into the world to redeem mankind from fallen state and to make him whole again. Dearly beloved, we must throw ourselves on that rock that Jesus spoke about. We must throw ourselves on that rock and be broken. Broken of self. And when we do that, this spiritual healing enables us to walk in the love as Christ also has loved us. It enables us to walk in the spirit of meekness. We were discussing in the Sunday school lesson about trying to help those that know everything. It's difficult. But if we go in the spirit of meekness with God, having given ourselves wholly as a vessel to God, I think it will be beneficial. I think those people can be helped. And of course, we can also walk honestly as in the day. The Apostle Peter in his writings says that we can walk honestly. We can walk in the Spirit so as not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He enables us. And we can walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Let us take heed. Let us take heed. And to be healed of one's spiritual lameness through the blood of Christ is far a greater miracle even than physical healing. For there is indeed two different kinds of cripples. I came upon this poem years ago already, and in thinking of this message, it come to my mind. And I'm going to read that to you. Two cripples entered a church one day, crippled but each in a different way. One had a body strong and whole, but it sheltered a warped and twisted soul. The other walked with a halting gait, but his soul was tall and fair and straight. They shared a bench, they shared a book, but on each face there was a different look. One was alight with hope and joy and faith that nothing could destroy. The other joined not in prayer or hymn, no smile relaxed his features grim. A neighbor had wronged him, and his heart was sure. He thought of himself and nothing more. The words that were read from the holy book struck deafened ears and a forlorn look. To one came comfort. His soul was fed. The other gained nothing from what was said. Two cripples left the church that day, crippled, but each in a different way. A twisted foot did one body mar, but a twisted soul was sadder by far. Friend, have you thought about your soul? Is it ready to meet Jesus face to face? Let us take heed to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you for your prayers for us as we continue to preach the word. And may we all take heed and listen. It'd be interesting to just read the next chapter, which the apostles were forced to come before the Sanhedrin. And Peter had another opportunity to share with the top rulers of the Jewish nation in Jerusalem there. May we truly walk in the love of God and realize that we need to love. I need to love you as Christ loved me. I need to forgive you as Christ has forgiven me. And pass that joy on that we have and the Holy Ghost. Do continue to pray for us, and let us walk together in the Lord. Let us work together in the Lord, and let us be together by the grace of God in glory when our time is up here and our journey's ended. Let's kneel for prayer.